the truth. The truth is, it's in God's word. You know, Zedness has a motto. They say they're here to entertain, inform, and to educate. But well, Turner Boy Ministry from the Crack of the Gun told you, we're here to not to entertain you, ladies and gentlemen, but to share with you the truth of God's word through information based on the Bible, church history, and world history. Isaiah 8:20 is quite clear, ladies and gentlemen, to the law that points out sin, and to the testimony from Genesis to Revelation, if the ministers of the gospel speak not according to these two principles, there is no light in them. And you know, based on that concept, 99% of the churches can close down right now or get their act together and follow dust, said the Lord.
I'm not too sure how to answer this caller, but I'll try my best. But you know, it's a fearful thing when a minister of the gospel or an individual goes to God's word, sees what God's word says, and presumably is convicted by that truth. But because the person doesn't agree with that truth, they decide that they want to close that text in the Bible and not go back to it. They just reject it. They want to tear it out. They want to rewrite that scripture because they don't agree with it, because they don't like what it says. And it's a fearful thing. Words to myself first and to others that I speak to is that, you know, when we go through the scripture and we find something in there that rebukes us or convicts us, you know, something that speaks about our diet or the way we dress or the way we speak or the things that we watch, we don't look at the scripture and say, oh, I don't agree with that, or I don't like what that's saying to me, or it's convicting me, or it's rebuking me, so we decide we're going to tear it out or rewrite it or shut that particular text out. No, we're supposed to take those things in love, because the whole scripture was given by God to us in love. So we're supposed to take those things in love. When we shut those things out, when we reject the truth, the light of truth, when it comes to us, it is a very, very dangerous thing. And Paul, the Holy Spirit, spoke through the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians. And this is what he says. And he said, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they may be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they shall believe a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, I sat in a church for many years where there was teaching after teaching over why I should return a faithful tithe, but there was little to no teaching. In fact, I can forcefully say, in all honesty, that there was no teaching on Bible prophecy. There was no teaching in the book of Revelation. When I confronted the minister and asked him, okay, well, the Ten Commandments, it's still in the Bible. Why don't we teach on these things? Why don't we follow the Ten Commandments as it's written in Scripture? Why don't we keep the Sabbath, etc.? He said to me, well, you know, those things aren't really for us. You know, they're for the Jews. They're done away with, blah, blah, blah. And I went through Scripture after Scripture showing him, well, you know, that can't be so. It doesn't make sense for these things, what you're saying for these things to be done away with. And he just brushed it under the rug. That's a very dangerous thing to do, ladies and gentlemen. And I encourage all of you, you know, when you study the scriptures for yourself, don't take man's word for it. You know, if you go into a church and the whole scripture isn't being studied, where parts are being rejected because the minister doesn't like what it says, it's time for you to get up and walk out and find another church to go and worship in, or if necessary, until the Lord directs you to another church, you sit at home and you study your scriptures for yourselves. You gather your family together. You gather like-minded individuals around you who love God's word and wants to study the word. You study it for yourselves. You worship until the Lord directs you to the path that he would have you to go.
Amen.
I can't agree more with the caller. For the last 4 years, we were on the program, and that was our whole goal. However, the Bible does not speak really of us getting together, and that's the sad part. We wish we all could get together, but the Bible does not speak of that. The Bible said that a remnant would be saved, and a remnant is a very, very small portion. So my thought to the persons who have been listening to us for four years or more, or who have listened maybe for the first time tonight, is that one of the things that we must do is ensure that we get our calling in election sure. To ensure that whatever church, whatever minister, bishop, or whatever you call your spiritual guide, that he or she is leading you down the right path.
Amen.
Because the Bible is quite clear. Straight and narrow is the way that leads to heaven, but broad is the way that leads to destruction. So my admonition to everybody listening to us this evening is to ensure through the scripture that they are following the true person.
I'd also like to tell a caller this, too. Yes, they are coming together, but they're coming together on the movement called the ecumenical movement. And this is the reason why we have independent services. All the ministers of different cross-section of the gospel come together as if they're united as one. But the problem is some of these ministers are preaching the gospel in an unknown tongue and won't preach the gospel in a known tongue. I mean, it just baffles me. that when I turn on my TV and my radio, I have educated ministers who have doctorate degree, master's degree. They mastered the divinity of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, and they're speaking a bunch of garbage. And everyone in the Bahamas basically speak English. The Bible is quite clear in 1 Corinthians that whenever you begin to speak in an unknown tongue, if there's no interpreter, you must sit down and shut up. The apostle Paul said even pipes give a certain sound. How do we know when to go into battle, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, if you don't give the certain sound? But, you know, we turn on the TV and we are mesmerized by these so-called ministers of the gospel who said they have LLB and all kind of foolishness behind their names. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. It hurts my poor heart when I see what's going on in the church today. And, you know, Turning Point Ministry is a faith movement here, ladies. We have never asked one penny. The Lord has blessed this ministry leaps and bounds to be here week after week. We are not on a move to try to start a church. We're not on a move to try to collect some money. We're not on a move to make some money to move on the rich. We're on a move to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come for us to search the scripts and tell our these dumb dog ministers that if they ain't gonna preach the truth, we're not gonna give them no more money to drive no expensive cars, live in an expensive home. I went to a church internet, ladies and gentlemen, a Christian church right here locally, where the minister's wife and his daughter was dressed like a prostitute. I wish I can call their names tonight. If you call me after, I'll tell you where their website is. It break my heart to know that these ministers are paid handsomely by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you go to their website, if I don't hurry click the page, his wife and his daughter will stimulate me. That's forbidden by God's word. You see, these are the things that make me upset. You know what I mean, ladies and gentlemen? Time is running out, and the time has come for us to get our act together and hold our ministers accountable. And if they can't give you a thus said the Lord, away with them. And leave them, and like Brother Rendrick says, start a home church. And I'm sure if you start a home church, the Holy Spirit will be in your midst to lead and guide you and your family all the way straight to the kingdom of God when Christ shall return, and not in secretly, but be a loud bang. And when he say up and go, he is going to be like the magnet, and you're going to need some metal to jump to the magnet. And that metal is the Holy Ghost. That metal is the truth of God's word, not the gospel according to this flashy man's opinion, ladies and gentlemen.
Just to quickly go back on what question the caller asked, why aren't all the churches getting together? Amos 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can myself, Brother Paul, and Brother Julian sit here tonight and have this Bible study with you if we all agree, or we all believe three separate things? None of us agree on what we agree upon. All of us have three different opinions. I believe in the New Testament, Brother Paul doesn't. Brother Julian believes in the Old Testament, I don't. It doesn't make sense. How can two walk together except they agree? It just doesn't make sense, ladies and gentlemen. Why don't all the churches get together? Well, how can they possibly get together when everyone believes something different? No one is united in the truth that is within God's word. But apparently they're sweeping all of that under the rug and getting together for other purposes.
We have some callers, so hold on, we have a line from line five, from Farmers Key Exuma again. Hold on. Go ahead, Farmers Key.
Hello?
Hello? Farmers Key?
I listen to that, and very good things I listen to. I want to say this. Why does a reverend, listen good, why does a priest, why does a bishop, why does a deacon, and I don't know how many names they could call in church, why do they get a salary to preach the word of God, which is free to all nations in this world throughout? Because I know what my Bible say, every man will hear the word, every tongue can confess that Jesus is Lord. I want to know why people of them are getting a salary on a pulpit to pray and sanctify and bring people to the Christ of God through the Son Jesus. Can you line up and tell me that?
Well, the Bible, you know, gives them grounds to be paid for preaching. The Bible says those that preach the gospel shall live off the gospel. But the problem is, if they're not preaching the truth, they should not be paid. And how are you going to know if they're preaching the truth? They must always go. They must always go to God's word. They must always go to God's word to preach the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this young man who's calling from Farmers Key is asking some very good questions. And the question he's asking is, why are ministers paid? You know, the Bible says if a man don't work, he should not eat. So if the minister's not preaching the whole truth and nothing but the truth, he should not eat. But like Isaiah said, they are dumb dogs. They are greedy dogs. They cannot get enough. And the reason why they cannot get enough is because they don't want to follow the principle that God laid down when he sent his disciples out. They want to live high, sophisticated lives. expensive suits, driving expensive cars. And this kind of, and you can't live this type of lifestyle if you follow the concept of Christ. As a matter of fact, Christ left the majesty of heaven. He became poor that you and I can become rich. You see, but ministers think they come rich physically. But he became poor that we could become rich spiritually. And when the money comes in our pockets, it's not going to be for us to be alligator shoes and three-piece suits and Jaguar cars and $300,000 and $400,000 houses. It's going to come for us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing else, ladies and gentlemen. But the problem is, ministers, they've gone wild, ladies and gentlemen. And all you do is turn your TV 13 on Sunday morning. Just turn ZNS TV 13 on, and you see all sorts of nonsense that cannot be backed up by the Word of God.
We have a comment from Pumpkin Eater online, too. Go ahead, Pumpkin Eater. Pumpkin Eater?
Yes, how you doing?
I'm okay, sir.
Can everybody hear me clear?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but good to listen to the show. Listen to the show once in a while. We don't always disagree. We always agree on everything. But one positive thing I agree with y'all on, and one or two of them, y'all take a stand on homosexualism against it, and that right my youth where I'm ready for. You're not ashamed, and you're not afraid to speak up boldly against it. And I another thing I agree with you, the church on. Is yes, I see a lot of foolishness going on with members, which the pastor not getting into the Word of God. I agree, Joe. You need to go back to the Bible. There's a lot of manipulation going on. There's a lot of what I call spiritual, psychological difficulties, where that a lot of heresy that the pastor would get the members to do just to worship them and to do the things that are not pleasable, more pleasable to continue to receive their money and continue to have them like almost like slaves. And you made something that's very, very vital, my brothers. They need to go back to the Word of God. You mentioned home church? Hello?
Yes, sir.
Okay, boy, you're right. There's a time. There might be a time for home church because there's going to be a lot of special persecution because people are so gullible for tickle ass. You know what I mean by tickle ass? You know what I mean by that, right, y'all?
Yes,
guys?
Yes, sir.
That's right. And because of that, may have to start home churches again because everywhere you go, you see hypocrisy going on, and all I wish for members and around the world to go to the Bible. Your preacher's not giving you Bible facts. Move away from it. And you mentioned TV preachers. There's some good preachers on, one or two good preachers on TV, but most of them are in for one thing, the mighty dollar. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, thank you.
And so I just want to encourage you all to continue to take a side on righteousness, and you're right in terms of prostitution. I don't know if I phrase it right, y'all. Some of the churches dress like a harlot.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. I can't see how a pastor can allow the lady to sit down with a miniskirt with a low top and preach the Word of God. Still, that is a problem, and that's reason why a lot of people get into immorality.
Yeah.
Problems now with the law because of that.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. And have a good night.
And maybe that's I'm a punk kid. I'm not afraid to say it like it is. Have a good day, my brother.
Go ahead, Mr. Roberts.
Hello?
Yes, sir, Mr. Roberts, go ahead.
I would like to know if Jehovah's Witness and Mormonism, if they are cults, and if they are, why?
Mr. Roberts?
Yes?
This program is basically a disruption. We're not here to discuss any, we don't represent the Mormons, nor do we represent the Jehovah's Witness.
No, the guy was speaking about different religions. Coming together.
Hello?
Yeah, this guy was speaking about different religions coming together.
Yes,
two callers ago.
Yes. We were talking about churches coming together, but we are not here to comment on any particular church, especially the Mormons, not a Jehovah's Witness, because, you know, it wouldn't be proper for us to comment on what they believe like that. We're dealing this afternoon with the rapture, and we don't want to get into talking about what the Jehovah's Witness or the Mormons believe in that context tonight.
But what we would say is, you study what they believe based on the scriptures. Whatever they say to you must be on the scriptures. Whenever you ask them a question, you must get the scripture. And what you do with that scripture is, after they have already left your presence, you go and fall on your knees and say, Lord, let me see if what they said is true based on the scriptures. And you go line upon line and precept upon precept. Don't use one scripture to build a doctrine. Use many scriptures dealing with that particular concept to make sure that you're on the right path. That's the best we can say with that tonight. If you care to call us off air, you can feel free to call us at 322-6273. And we will share with you some of the information. As a matter of fact, we have some information on our website about what some of these churches really believe. That's www.tpministries.org. Thank you very much.
Go ahead, caller.
Good night, gents.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead with your question.
I really want to stick with the point, right? But I want to know who were the righteous people before the Lamb of God take away the sins of the world? Before Christ came into the world?
Who were the righteous people?
Yeah.
There were a number of them. Adam and Eve. Abel, Cain. Who killed Abel? Abel who died, he was righteous. You also had Elijah. He was righteous. As a matter of fact, he was so righteous that God took him to heaven. You had
Daniel.
You had Daniel. You had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And what a wonderful testament those three
okay.
young men.
Were these people Nazarenes or what?
Nazarenes?
Yeah.
You mean the Nazarites?
Yeah, the Nazarites.
There were some of God's people. Through history, God had a righteous people. There were never a time on earth's history where God didn't have a people taking his message. Now, the thing is, a lot of people try to say that there was a break, but there was no break. All through earth's history, God always had a people that was shining forth his light in the dark places of earth's history. And today, he still have a people, because he said in his word that the gates of hell should not prevail against his church. And how you would know who that church is? That church must be line upon line, and precept based on God's word.
Right.
That's what you need.
All right, brother.
Okay.
If you go back and do a historical study, you'll find that even during the persecution of the Dark Ages, when the papacy was persecuting the church, that even then God still had a small remnant, a group of people that held fast to the scriptures and believed solely on what the Bible said. Initially there were the Waldenses. Out of the Waldensian, all the Waldenses came out, the Protestant reformers, and their group came out, men like Martin Luther, John Wycliffe, John Huss, etc. So throughout history, God has had a remnant people, a people that believe solely on his word and held fast in faith to what he said.
Another thing we need to realize, the devil hates a group of people and he loves some others. In Revelation chapter 12 verse 17 it says, and the devil was angry with the church. Or the woman, which is the church, and went to make war with those who keep the commandments of God and have the testament of Jesus Christ. So tonight, if you know you stand guilty of breaking any of the commandments of God, you are on the devil's side. It's just plain and simple like that. James 2 is quite clear. If you break one of God's commandments, you have broken all. And, you know, 4 years we've been here now, and I know people have been listening to the radio program. But the problem is, me and Brother Julian, Brother Renrick, we're not theologians, you see? I'm a mechanic by profession. Brother Renrick is a computer technician. Brother Julian is a school teacher. So who are we to be talking to you and we don't have a doctorate degree in theology? Well, our doctorate comes from the Holy Ghost. You see, the Holy Ghost is no respecter of person. Once you are open to his leading, to his biddings, he will empower you to preach the gospel. You remember in the book of Acts, I think the book of Acts says, who are these unlearned men? These unlearned men in that day were being led by the Holy Ghost. And it's the same, and God can use you to turn the world upside down. As long as you want to be humble and you want to be led by him, he will take you places. But the problem is, you must realize that he must get the glory. And this is why he said, you and I must do the good works, that he must be glorified. Because it's him that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He is the one that sends rebuke through his messengers. But sometimes people think that it's the messengers that are sending the rebuke. How could that be, ladies and gentlemen, that we just mortal sinful creatures just like everyone else? But for the grace of God, there go us in the drug addict. There go us in the nightclub. There go us, doing things that are like everyone else. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're not above you. What we are saying is that the time has come for us to stand up and be counted, because Christ is about to come. And he's looking for a few good young men, a few good young ladies, a few little boys and girls, a few older ones, and in between, to preach the gospel with power and don't be compromised.
Go ahead, J.R. from Exuma.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I listen to you all again. And there's a man who's talking to somebody else. Why, when we talk about God, see, plenty of people don't know, Jehovah is God the Almighty. And I believe in God, his son Jesus. I believe in all the heaven that the man that made and created us. But I don't think we should get into a contradiction of judging no churches. The thing what the gentleman is saying is correct. The thing that we are doing wrong, we have all names, and God have many names. But there are people don't go to house and use the word of God and teaching the children in the Bahamas. That's why the Bahamas don't have the street meeting. The Bahamas don't have the good church meeting. Until they find out it's a resolution that there's God, judge no church, because God is God. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator. That was a little light refreshment. Now, let's get back to these questions, gentlemen. We were talking about the Antichrist, and we were talking about the relationship between the Antichrist and this secret rapture. Now, what I want to know is, I think Brother Renwick had a comment before we started to take on some callers. What is the relationship between the Antichrist and the secret rapture?
The relationship between the Antichrist and the secret rapture is they go hand in hand. You see, the Antichrist is working behind the scenes, pushing the rapture theory. And they're doing it in such a kind way that if you don't know the scriptures, you will be caught up into it. As a matter of fact, almost the whole Christian world is caught up into it as we speak. Because a lot of time you ask people what they believe and they can't give an answer. And 1 Peter 3:15 says you and I should always be ready to give an answer to what we believe. And you ask people just simple things about the God. As a matter of fact, if you meet 10 Christians tonight and you ask them, how would you know if your pastor is on the path of righteousness or not? They won't be able to tell you. And the first thing Jesus says in Matthew 24, that be aware that no man should deceive you. So how are you going to know if your minister who you listen to week after week and day after day and year after year are on the Lord's side or not, if you don't know what the Bible says? For instance, how many of us today are guilty of calling our ministers reverend? Do you know when you call your minister reverend, you're taking God's name in vain? Psalms 111 verse 9 says, God sent redemption unto his people. He established his covenant forever. Holy and reverence is God's name. So how do we get off calling people the very reverend, the right reverend, the most reverend, when that title only belongs to God? The word of God is quite clear. God will not hold us guiltless if we take his name in vain. But you say, ha, 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 those guys are telling me they're talking nonsense. Well, we'll see. On that great day, when time should be no more, we'll see if we were talking nonsense. See, this is how it was in the days of Noah. They said that old Noah preaching a boat on dry land and never rain. He thought, but it can rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And sure enough, when Noah was taken into the ark and the door was shut, their cases were decided. As a matter of fact, probation had closed the very first day for them when the door on the ark was shut. Because on day 5, if they had their minds made up to go in, they couldn't get in. And this is just how it's going to be when Christ returns. When the Antichrist has finished his deceptive powers in a marvelous way you have never seen before. And then people are going to realize, you know something? We need the word of God. But Amos is quite clear. There'll be a famine. There'll be no more turning point. There'll be no more preaching the gospel as it is in Jesus Christ. And you will try to find a word, and the Bible says you run from sea to sea. As a matter of fact, from people to people trying to find a word, and you will not find it. There'll be a famine in the land. And you'll be flicking to 50 and 40 trying to find turning point ministries. But it will be here no more, ladies and gentlemen. It'll be long gone. And that's how it's going to be, just as it was in the days of Noah.
What is the relationship between the Antichrist and the rapture?
Yes, sir.
The relationship is one of deception, Brother Julian. And we examined this. We laid a foundation for this when we looked at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'd just like to read it once again for those that are listening. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I invite all of you to turn to the scriptures for yourselves. And it says, "And now I beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." We established this a few minutes ago, Brother Julian, that before Christ comes, the Antichrist power, the Antichrist spirit, this system is going to be revealed. And tonight we're going to pull the mask off of this system. We're going to reveal this deception that has been sweeping the world. This secret rapture doctrine is nothing but a deception, a smoke screen to turn the eyes of people away from the truth that is within God's word, so that the real deceiver, the man of sin, the deceiver, is hidden, that his true intentions are hidden. But we're going to pull the mask off of that deception tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And I invite all of you to turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verses 29 through 30. And we're going to read. And it says, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. What is Paul speaking about here? He's saying that within the church, within the body of believers, that people are going to rise up, men are going to rise up, spirit is going to come in, men are going to rise up, and they're going to preach their own doctrine, they're going to come up with their own theories, and they're going to draw people away from the true light that is within God's word. And as we examine the true motives of the Antichrist, how it relates to the rapture and what is his true motives, we have to go further and further into studying our Bible. We have to dig further and deeper into scripture. And one of the scriptures we're going to point to tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and I ask all of you to make a note of this, is Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. And we're going to look at the true motives, the true intentions of Satan. And we're going to compare that to the true motives, the true intent of the Antichrist. What does he really desire? Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 14, and it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." What was Satan's original intention? What did he desire most? He didn't desire the kingdoms of this world. He didn't desire gold or jewelry. He desired worship. He desired worship and power. Is this the true intentions of the Antichrist? I'm going to ask you a series of questions, ladies and gentlemen, and you answer these questions for yourselves. And before the night is out, the true answer is going to be revealed. Four questions I have to ask you. Question number one, is there a religious system today that takes upon itself only those things that are ascribed to God? Is there a religious system today that claims to have the power to forgive sins? Question number two, is there a religious system today that appears to be a Christian power, appears to be a Christian church, appears to be a Christian system, but calls men to confess their sins to other men, to priests? Question number three, is there a religious system today, is there a church today that teaches men that there are multiple paths to salvation? The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, of the light, that no man cometh unto the Father but by through Jesus Christ. Is there a church today that teaches that there are other paths to the Father, that there are other routes to heaven, that you can get to heaven through the Virgin Mary, that you can get to heaven through Allah, that you can get to heaven through praying through the saints, that these people, that the saints, that the Virgin Mary can also forgive sins, that they can take your prayers to the Father? Is this what the Bible teaches? Is this what a religious, what is there a religious system in the world today that indeed teaches this? And my final question number four, is there a religious system today that claims to have the power to take people out of hell and put them in heaven, when we know that when the dead when a person dies, that he sleeps in the dust of the earth? But there's a religious system today that teaches an ever-burning hell and the ability to take people out of hell, put them in heaven, or take people out of heaven and put them back into hell. And this can be done by praying through the saints, through indulgences, through penance. Is there a religious system today that fits all of these questions that I've asked you, that fits the mold perfectly? Answer those questions for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. And before the night is out, we're going to pull the mask off the deceptions of the Antichrist tonight.
We have a caller for a comment. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Can you turn off your radio? Hello? I guess he's gone. He had a question. The question he wanted to ask is, the Antichrist, is it a person or a system?
It's both. If you're listening, it's both. And it's a system and it's also a person. The system is, it's a religious system. It's a system that is doing things that it appears as if it is Christ working, but it's actually Satan himself working through the system. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul made a very serious comment. This chapter is loaded. It's also a fearful chapter. One of the things that make me search out what I'm saying week after week and make sure I ask myself, am I in the faith, is when the Bible says that if we believe not the truth,
God will send us a strong delusion that we should believe a lie. You read that 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 12. And the reason why God says he's going to send us send us a delusion is because we've been having pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. It appears if you've been reading Matthew chapter 24, because Christ almost said the exact same word. For that day should not come, said the apostle Paul, except there come a falling away first. And this system did fall away from the truth. They once used to rejoice in all the commandments of God, but today they're only rejoicing in 9. They have altered the 4th, which is now the 3rd, and they have also altered. The Bible says the people love to have it this way. And here we are, just on the break of the coming of the Lord, just on the break of the 7th departing as a scroll. And Christ is about to burst the eastern skies. And what we are doing? Jumping around, playing plot lock, and doing all sorts of nonsense. Instead of we take our times and search the scriptures to see whether we are in the faith.
Our telephone numbers are, for the Family Island, which is a toll-free number, 1-242-300-8255. Our telephone numbers for those here in Oslo are 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. But Rendrick, you had something you wanted to say?
Let's go back to the four questions that I asked, and we're going to start from the very top. Is there a religious system in the world today, a system that claims to be a Christian religious system that also claims to have the power to forgive sins, the power that only is ascribed to God? Is there a religious system in the world today, ladies and gentlemen? Let's answer a question. Who can forgive sins? Mark chapter 2, verse 7. We'll read from verse 5 to verse 7. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned in their hearts. And they said, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? They accused Jesus of speaking blasphemies. And they said in their hearts, who can forgive sins but God only? So the scribes and the Pharisees, they sat there and they watched Jesus. Jesus said to the man that his sins were forgiven, and they accused him of committing blasphemy because he said to the man that his sins were forgiven. And let's go again to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 6, and it says, and we'll read from verse 5 and on to verse 6. For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said unto the sick and the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. So the power to forgive sins is something that's only ascribed to God. Only Jesus Christ has that power to forgive sins. But ladies and gentlemen, once again, I ask you the question. There's a religious system in the world today. There is a church in the world today that claims to have this power, that if you come to their priests and you confess your sins to their priests, their priests have the power to forgive you of your sins. You answer that question for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. Who is this religious system? Who is this religious power that claims to have this ability?
Thank you very much, Brother Renwick. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone numbers are 1-242-300-8255. That's for Family Island callers. That is a toll-free or a free call from any of the Family Islands. Or you can call us at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405 for those of you in New Providence. That is a toll-free number, I said, for the Family Island callers. Please call in. We want to hear your comments or questions. Just before we go up there, we got another about 19, 20 minutes. One caller called in. He and his family are studying, I think, someplace in Exuma, and they want us to explain Genesis 3, 1 and 6. Genesis 3, 1 and 6, and Titus 2, 14. They want us to explain Genesis 3, 1 and 6, and Titus 2, and Titus 2 and 14. I allow you to read it, brethren, I will read those two texts off. That is, I will read off Genesis 3, 1 and 6 first. And it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And verse 6 says, And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. But Paul, could you explain, even though this question is not really on the rapture per se, would you like to help our brother out in Exuma this afternoon?
Well, Brother Julian, as a matter of fact, this serpent is still at work tonight. And this is the reason why people believe the secret rapture theory. See, the serpent, like the Bible says, is subtle. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he is still working as a roaring lion. This is the devil here. And he spake to the woman. This is the first time we ever saw spiritualism, a snake speaking to a woman. And sometimes, you know, you see these snakes speaking on TV. You even see lizards. As a matter of fact, you even see cars speaking on. This is all a form of spiritualism. And this is why it's so dangerous for us to allow our children to watch certain cartoons. Because we know quite well, ladies and gentlemen, that animals don't speak. And here we have the first concept of deception. The devil turned himself into a serpent, and he began to speak to Eve. And through him speaking to Eve, he beguiled Eve. And in verse 6 says, the woman took the fruit, saw that it was good for food. Well, God never said it was not good for food. He just told him, the day you eat it, you should surely die. And the record reflects that they did eat, and the record reflects that they did die physically. But thank God, Christ covered them with the robe of his righteousness, and I truly believe that Adam and Eve is going to be in heaven. She saw that it was pleasant for the eyes. And the sinning has happened in churches today. You know, there are three things that are destroying the Christian church, ladies and gentlemen. Sight, sound, and feelings. It look good, it sound good, it feel good, it got to be good. But when you test what the church is doing based on God's word, it is not true. And the same thing is being happening today. They think that these things can make them wise. People are dancing all over the pews and stuff like that. And now husband and wife are being deceived just like Adam and Eve were deceived. Husband and wives are being deceived, and Hosea 4:6 says, My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And because the parents have rejected the truth, God said, not I will only reject you, but I'll also reject your children. How sad. That's why Christ said the time has come for us to study his law. The reason why Christ rejected them in Hosea 4:6 is because they rejected the law of God, which points out sin. The law of God in Exodus chapter 20, if you reject any one of them, Christ said, he will not only forget the parents, he said he will also have to forget their children.
Okay, our caller, Junior from Exuma, also wants us to explain Titus chapter 2, verse 14, and I would read again. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Shall I read it again?
Yeah.
Titus 2, 14, and it says, Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works.
That's a strong scripture. You know, this is the gospel almost in a nutshell. That it says that Christ redeemed us. And what did he redeem us from? Iniquity, which is so dangerous. Because 1 Samuel says iniquity and rebellion is as witchcraft. So the problem is, are we practicing any sin that was already pointed out to us a year ago, 2 months ago, 3 days ago? As a matter of fact, I said, once that sin was pointed out and we continue to participate, we are still rejoicing in iniquity. And Christ has not and we have not allowed what Christ did. He has redeemed us. Not he is going to redeem us, but he has redeemed us. And what he has redeemed us from? Iniquity. So if we are still practicing any sin, which is now iniquity, Christ cannot purge us unto himself a peculiar people. Peculiar means different, strange, odd. But we don't want to be different. The club is jumping, we want to jump. The club is talking comedy, we want to talk comedy. The club is going to the movies, we want to go to the movies. So we are not peculiar people anymore. And because of this, the last part says, we are no longer zealous of good works. These things speak, verse 15 says, and exalt and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. Amen.
I'd just like to read a quick statement from a book called Faith and Works, and it says, By faith take hold of the merits of Christ, and the soul-cleansing blood will be applied. The more clearly we see the evils and perils to which we have been exposed, the more grateful shall we be for deliverance through Christ. Amen. The gospel of Christ does not give man incentive to break the law, for it was through the transgression that the floodgates of war were opened upon our world. Today sin is the same malignant thing that it was in the time of Adam. The gospel does not promise the favor of God to anyone who in impenitence breaks his law. The depravity of the human heart, the guilt of transgression, the ruin of sin are all made plain by the cross, where Christ has made a way for us to escape. Amen.
Our telephone numbers are toll-free from the Family Island, 1-242-300-8255. Those of you in New Providence, you can give us a call at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. I think we only have another 7 or 8 minutes before we close the phone line. So if you want to give us a call, if you want to get in your comment, if you want to give in your question, you need to hurry up, call. If for some reason you can't get through, the lines might be too busy, or you might be doing something else, you might be in your car, in a boat, or someplace else, you could always email any of your questions to www.tpministries.org. On that website, you would find the email address of myself, Julian Miller, Renwick Bowe, and Brother Paul Miller. Or you can call Brother Paul Miller at home at 322-6273. Now, we have another caller from Cat Island, and they want us to comment again, even though it's not specifically talking about the rapture. But we know people have questions, so we got to answer it. That's what the Bible tells us, what? Always be ready to give an answer.
Amen.
So they want us to explain Genesis 3, verses 10 and 11. And I will read it.
Genesis 3 or Judges?
Genesis 3, 10 and 11. And it says, "And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who had told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree? Wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat." Brother Paul?
Well, right here, we realize that Satan had given Adam, right off the break, fearfulness. And we know based on God's word, God has not given us a spirit of fear. So right here we see that the first part of fearfulness came about when Adam realized he had sinned. He became afraid. He also realized that he was naked for the first time, and he hid himself from God. Now, how can we hide from God when the book of Psalms says, "Don't care where we go. If we go in the grave, wherever we go, Christ knows where we are." We cannot hide from Christ. And this is why the Bible says, every secret sin we do in dark will be revealed. And these secret sins are going to keep some of us out of the kingdom of heaven. The Bible also says that he told God that he was naked. And the Bible asks him, "How do you know he was naked? Have you eaten from the tree?" God asks him, "Where I commanded you not to eat." And today people are still eating from that tree. He said, anything we're eating that is not coming from the word of God, as far as God is concerned, we're eating of that tree. That forbidden tree. That tree is still, today, is called sin. Thank God that tree was taken away, because if that tree was not taken away from the earth, that means men would have eaten and would live immortal lives. They'll have immortality, I should say. That means you'll get AIDS and would never die. You'll have cancer, paining to death, and would never die. Can you imagine that? You'll have a cut and you'll be bleeding that the doctors can't stop and never die. So isn't God good? Isn't he good that he took that tree away? That tree that he forbid Adam and Eve to eat, and he immediately put angels around to protect that tree, and today that tree is no longer with us, the tree of life, that is. And if he had not taken that tree away, what would our end have been?
Thank you very much, Brother Paul. As we come down to the last closing minutes, we have 10 more minutes before we close for this evening. I will give out our telephone numbers for the last time. That is 1-242-300-8255 in the Family Islands. That's a toll-free call. Or 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405, which is a number for those of you in the island of New Providence. Go ahead, caller. Hello? 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 Caller, could you cut off your radio for me, please?
We lost that call.
Line 5 wants us to explain Luke 4, 1 through 13. Luke 4, 1 through 13. It's going to take us a little, maybe a couple of seconds to find that text. So if you could give us a minute. Luke 4, 1 through 13. Now, obviously, I'm not going to read the whole of that, because that is that's 13 verses, and we only have about 8 more minutes left.
Well, it basically speaks of the beginning of Christ's ministry when he was right before the beginning of his ministry, when he was taken into the wilderness. He was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and then the devil came down and started to tempt him. And we see here that the first temptation that the devil brought against Christ was one of food. The same temptation that was brought against Adam and Eve was brought against Christ. And verse 3 says, "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered, saying unto him, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone. Amen? So right there, Christ attained the first victory on our behalf, the victory over appetite, the victory over the temptations to eat whatever it is that we want to eat. And to eat any old thing that the world throws out there, Christ obtained that victory over the devil, over appetite, over that temptation. Second victory obtained was one of worship. Again, we went back in Isaiah chapter 14, we saw that the devil's true intent, even from when he was in heaven, was to obtain worship. And again, in Luke chapter 4, verse 7, if thou wilt worship me, all shall be thine. Devil showing Christ all the kingdom of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto him, and this is a word that we should always, always keep in our mind, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve.
Thank you very much, Brother Henry. We have a couple of more questions that we need to ask before the time is spent. And so one of the questions, since we talk about the devil quite often in the last couple of calls, I'm going to ask a question to both of you. Where does all this confusion come from? We had a call who talked about why the churches don't get together. Why can't the churches get together? Why is it there seems as if one church believes one thing and another church believes another thing? What causes all this confusion?
I think Jesus answered it with Brother Randy just read. They did not follow in the principle Jesus laid down in his first temptation. When Jesus says, man shall live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. They want to live off the food that God has created, but don't want to live off the food that God has written his word spiritually. And this is what got the confusion that is going all around. So what they came up with, they came with the concept of what is called the ecumenical movement. No sheep stealing, they say. You know, there are a lot of ministers out there, ladies, that who wish they could take us off air. But, you know, God forbid that he have to remove them off the scene. You know, God does not play. When he set man up, no one can move them until it's time for them to be removed. You know, there are ministers of the gospel who wish, you know, we could just go away. You know, they say we are strange. No, we're not strange. We're preaching the good old-time religion. You know that good old-time religion? That's what we are preaching. The one that your mama used to listen to when she used to go down to the Dixie Church. Or the one your grandpa used to live to when he used to go down by the rock. It's a good old religion when they say amen. As a matter of fact, amen is out of the church. Did you notice that, ladies and gentlemen? Right now, when the pastor make a point, they clap their hands. Where did that come from? Who is the audience when we go to church? Have we forgotten when we go to church, God is the audience? Have we all come to worship him? They got our young ladies. They have now moved the leaf cap rate from down over Paradise Island and bring it into the church. Young girls are spinning around. In the spirit, they say. Which spirit? It's not the Holy Spirit, but it's the devil spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not to make us dance. As a matter of fact, parents should be ashamed of themselves allowing their young daughters to stimulate the men of the church. And any minister of the gospel who want to be honest, he will tell you that they are being stimulated based on God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come, like Turner Point has been saying from day one, to search the word of God to see whether we are in the faith.
Thank you very much. Go ahead, line one. Hello? Line one. Go ahead.
Line one is not there. Go to
Hello.
The next one.
Yes, yes, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Ask the good gentleman if they can explain Revelation 14:4 for me. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Revelation
14:4. Revelation 14:4 is a very good scripture. As a matter of fact, I love what Revelation 14 verses 5 says. If Revelation 14 verse 5 is, he says, and these are they which are not defiled with women. These are virgins. These are they that follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruit unto God and to the Lamb. What this verse of scripture is saying is that the time will come when These people who are defiled are 144,000. This is a special group of people that will be on the earth when Christ come. And the Bible says these will not defile with women. Well, women in Bible prophecy means church. They were not defiled by the church's systems. They were virgins, meaning they were pure to God's word. Anyone could be a part of this virgin origin. It could be man, woman, boy, or girl. The thing is, you must remain pure. That's what the main virgins mean. And the good news is, how come the Bible can test them to be virgins? They follow the Lamb. Well, we know the Lamb is Jesus Christ himself. And they follow the Lamb wheresoever he goeth. Meaning that if it means they must go to the cross, if it means they must be burned at the stake, they will follow the Lamb wheresoever he go. And these will be the first fruit. God will have a special place in his kingdom for these people. Because these are going to be the only set of people on the face of the earth who is going to live that type of lifestyle like Christ lived himself when he was here.
Go ahead, caller. Hello? Hello?
Your point.
Yes, go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, explain to the audience, absent from the body, present in the Lord.
That's another good, I know we're going to run out of time. As a matter of fact, our next calling show is going to be on the state of the dead. Now, the problem with this text is, and the way you quote it is by the way most ministers quote it. You quoted, explain absent from the body, present in the Lord, but if you quote this in its entirety, Paul said, I would rather be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You see, that's the two key words there. Willing, rather to be. Not I'm going to be, but willing that I rather will be. As a matter of fact, Paul had it this way. He said, if I could just do away with this world, I would prefer to be with the Lord. That's what Paul actually was saying. And the good news is one day the Apostle Paul will be with the Lord. Because he said in his word based on the unction of the Holy Ghost, he had fought a good fight. Henceforth there's a crown later for me in the courts of glory. And if the Holy Spirit knew that Paul didn't fight the good fight, he would not have the Apostle Paul write it. We are just about out of time. We've got to go to our next line. Next call. Thank you for calling.
Hello?
Yes, caller, go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
It's me?
Yes, go ahead.
Hello, I'd like to know, First Peter chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, that Jesus went down to preach in hell. I'd like to know if he preached to, who he preached to, and if anybody was saved, who he preached to, or how could you interpret that scripture?
This is a very another good question that you ask. As a matter of fact, the answer to that question is in the next verse. And you will see that he was talking about when he sent the Spirit of God to preach to people in Noah's day. That's 1 Peter you was quoting. 1 Peter, I don't have the scripture right before me, but if you read, if you keep reading, you will see where the Spirit that he was talking about when he went into the hell to preach, it was actually when he went to send the Spirit of the Lord to preach to the people in Noah's day. That's what he was really talking about. See, this is the time, this is what happens when you take one scripture and try to build a doctrine instead of reading the whole scripture to clarify what you need, what Christ really trying to say to
Hello?
Us.
I'm caller. We are out of time. We have 30 seconds and the producers are telling us it's time. So if you want to get the answer to that question, you could call Brother Paul at 322-6273 or you can visit Turning Points website at www.tpministry.org. www.tpministries.org.
We take our last caller for tonight just to make one comment. One, you got 1 second. Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead. Hello.
Good night.
Yes, one second.
You got 30 seconds. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to ask a question. Do you think it's right for churches to have seminar and charge people $70 and $80 to go to seminar to hear the Word of God, sir?
We got the hang up on you. That's a very good question. Listen to our program on Sunday at 2 o'clock and 15:40. We're going to answer that question. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you what one minister told me and Brother Julian. This is what he called. He said, this is a concept called you rub my back, I rub yours. And he said, most of the time when you see church has having revival, it's because they're trying to get the money through the back door. This is an invention of Satan. Ministers have found a way how to charge the gospel now through the back door. God is not pleased with this. The gospel is free. And we're completely out of time, and we don't want Zedness to have our heads here tonight. So, ladies, thank you all for your calls.
If you need to reach us at Turning Point Ministries, I said our website is www.tpministries.org, or you can call 322-6273. Now, just one... Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, let us pray. Once again, Heavenly Father, you've given us an opportunity to speak to your people tonight. We're most grateful and thankful. We ask your Spirit to fall not only on us tonight, but also to the listeners tonight. We pray that we all have a good night. We'll wake up in the morning refreshed and study the Word of God for ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. And when times be no more, Father, we pray that we'll be in your presence. Until next week, or until the next time Turning Point is on live, we pray that the peace of God be joining your family. And remember to join us on Sunday at 2 o'clock on ZNS 1540.
And stay listening, because there will be another 2-hour call-in show on the State of the Dead.
Reflect the views of the Broadcasting Corporation, its sponsors, or agencies.
This is AM 1540, the national voice of the Bahamas.